Welcome to YG. Wishing everyone 新年快乐，在新的一年里福杯满溢，在主里蒙福蒙恩。How's your Chinese New Year so far? Everyone seems pretty okay. This year seems like less visiting to do. I don't know. That was the case for me. So I was prepared for a pretty relaxed Chinese New Year. But, you know, on Monday, Chinese New Year Eve, when everyone was happily waiting for their half day to start, you know, still in office and all that. And then at 11 plus a.m. in the morning, I received a call from my mom. So she doesn't usually call me. It was a WhatsApp call. She doesn't usually call me. She usually texts. So if she calls me, usually it's something quite emergency, quite urgent. And she told me that my dad fell down at the void deck when trying to throw out the recyclable, so the blue bin, right? So he went downstairs, take the stuff, and then he fell down. And just for context, my dad is 80, and he's turning 81. So, and he was rather mobile, so I thank God that he could walk around without much assistance. You know, falling down at that age, usually it's quite severe. And, you know, he's not a believer. And frankly, he's been quite resistant to the faith and not really keen these days, especially as he grow older. Like when I try to invite him to church, even though there were occasions when he first came during special events, he doesn't come anymore. Like Chinese New Year special, like he didn't want to come. So only my mom's coming. But a lot of things were going through my mind when I received that news. So my mom told me that the injuries were minor, but his arm was hurting a lot. So she's sending him to A&E. And at the A&E, his blood pressure was like above 200. So the doctors prioritized him, thankfully, sent him for an X-ray, and it was discovered that he had a upper arm fracture. The doctor says that it should heal by itself, but it will take quite a while. So he was put on a sling. Then he was sent home. You know, during that call with my mom, you can see later on she sent me a photo of where he fell. So he tripped over the void deck, and then he just fell face forward, and then that's probably the point when he fractured his arm. And I really thank God that the injuries were relatively minor because he fell face first. And recently, my aunt, who's his sister, actually just got hospitalized because she was squatting down and fell back. And when her bottom hit the ground, she fractured her hip. And she's been on bed rest for more than a month now. So the worst really came into my mind when I heard the news. And this year, actually, my dad was hosting for Chinese New Year because she was hospitalized. So he also got injured. And second, the next thing I was really grateful about is that he was actually alone when he fell. And that void deck, you know, it looks pretty empty. It's usually very quiet. So thankfully, there were two kind souls who actually witnessed it. They actually came forth to help him up and help him home. My mom actually was out that time. So he was alone. And they helped him home. And it was only after a while when my mom came home and discovered that he actually fell and then called me. And at that point, he wasn't even sure he wanted to go to hospital. He was just complaining that his arm was aching a lot. So very thankful for the help that came. And I've actually been struggling a lot with the fact that my parents have not come to faith. And so this is really once again a reminder that I cannot take for granted the time that I have with them and every opportunity to minister to them. My heart was really heavy when I got the news. And it was like, juicy. So I prayed for them that moment. And once again, you know, committing this burden to God. In Ecclesiastes 9, first part of verse 4, Solomon writes, "But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope." Now, earlier in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, he was bemoaning the vanity of life, but when he compares it against death in chapter 9, he recognized that life is still far better. In particular, he points out that for the living, there is hope. But this is, you know, the hope for blessings in life, hope for things that you can enjoy when you're living. But my parents lack this greater hope that I have. They don't share this hope I have in Christ. So while I'm glad for the Lord's safekeeping of them, I'm thankful that He's giving me this chance that while they're still with me, I can continue to witness to them. And I'm really challenged to stay that journey, because it's sometimes a bit hard and really challenged to continue sharing and to be patient even when they don't respond well. To share this hope that really gives me strength through hard times, and hopefully one day they will find that as well, and one that prevents me from despairing the difficulties in life. So the song I want to share today is "There Is a Hope" by Stuart Townend. You know, 2026 hasn't passed, not much of it has passed, but you know, through the sharings that we had at YG, already quite a few of us had health shocks from people who were our loved ones and people struggling with, you know, juggling various different challenges and commitments. So may this hope in Christ carry us through whatever we might be going through in life, you know, joy or sorrow. Let's take the song together. Thanks, Gabe.
Okay, thank you, Kevin, for leading us in a time of worship. And may our hearts truly be that much more challenged as we think about those who, whether family members or friends who still don't know the Lord. I think we should have every encouragement to think of them, to pray for them, and to reach out in whatever way we can. And that's the reason why I also wrote for Grace Works about the kingdom of God and how when we look at our Lord Jesus' example in his focus, in his concern, and reaching out to the multitudes, preaching about the kingdom. And that's something that we ought to do also. Okay, well, first of all, a blessed and happy Lunar New Year to all of you. Just so glad that you can take the time to be here in this afternoon. I know that some are really still busy visiting and having lunches. We will seek to look forward. So this will be our last meeting for a while. Next week, there's the Chinese New Year celebration. After that, all the preparation for camp. So we'll see each other again the end of next month. Okay, so that's something we can look forward to. Okay, before we carry on, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for every opportunity that we can meet. May our hearts, even as we think about the new year, be that much more focused on reaching out to our family members, to our friends, and especially about sharing with them the kingdom of God. We pray that you will also be with us, even as we seek to grow in wisdom and understanding, even with regards to our work. We pray that you will bless our time and lighten us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week we learned a little bit about how can we find wisdom as we deal with our superiors, those who rule over us, concerning conflicts, how we can be wise in our approach, not to end up with conflicts, but to be a little bit more conciliatory, finding things to resolve things. But we recognize that there are times when errors will be made, and how can we have the kind of discernment and understanding to deal with the situation in a far better way. Ultimately, it is still looking to our Lord for the wisdom, for the justice that ultimately will prevail. Now, today we're going to go on, and we're going to go into verse 8 to verse 10. And so these are further proverbial sayings of Solomon, and it concerns work, concerns some of the things that may happen in the context of work. So there are some work that people do that are a little bit more dangerous than others, right? And it involves possible injury, possible even death, right? And that's the reality of work, right? If you're in a construction business, or you are in industries, right? You keep hearing about workers facing, deaths and so on and so forth, right? And when you think about the hospital, you think about, death can be a reality in more ways than one. So let's look at verse 8. And it says, "He who digs a pit will fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. He who quarries a stone may be hurt by them. And he who splits wood may be endangered by it." So these are just some warnings concerning inherent dangers when in certain lines, certain work, right? You talk about a hunter who may fall into his own pit. You can think about how, for one reason or not, you break through a wall. There may be a serpent hiding in the cracks, and you end up being bitten by the snake. These are just real-life situations that are encountered during those times. And then verse 9, "He who quarries stones may be hurt by them." Well, this person working in a mine or in a quarry. So sometimes you have industrial accidents, and these things can happen. That is the reality of life. And those are warnings that are given that we want to be just concerned about, right? And of course, splitting wood, if you're a woodcutter, you may end up, splitting wood for building, for fire, and accidents can happen, right? When an axe is used, and so on and so forth. Now, I'm not going to focus too much on this, right? But we recognize that there are dangers. Things can happen, unexpected, right? Like what Kevin was saying, even just walking, someone who is older, you can slip and you fall and you injure yourself. And those are the realities in the context of work. That happens all the time. And so we just want any of you in your line of work, that life injuries is at stake. Those of you who work in hospitals, that is, of course, a concern. School, I don't know, right? Things happen, right? Students, they get injured, and even possible death. I mean, these things will happen, right? Anybody else? Anybody working in, those light industries or whatever? Huh? Who? Navy, you try, right? Submarine, anything also can happen, right? I mean, we are just talking about realities of life, right? And so that's something that we all can and possibly encounter. I mean, it may not directly affect you, but it can affect your colleagues, and your company. Okay, anyway, that's just warnings that are given. And we really want to be able to have that wisdom to be wise, right? Not to find yourself in certain dangers and so on. Okay, now let's go on to verse 10. And it says, "If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. Right, but wisdom brings success." Okay, so you had this observation, right? I mean, if you are a woodcutter, you should be wise enough to recognize if the axe is dull, you really want to be able to sharpen it, and so that you make life a little bit easier for yourself, right? If not, if you have a dull axe and it's a very boring job, right? You end up having to put more strength into your chopping. You make things more difficult for yourself. And that can be a problem, right? Sometimes we don't have the wisdom to do things more efficiently or effectively. And we take more time, we take more effort, and it may not be all that wise. So then Solomon makes this statement, but wisdom brings success. And that's what we want to focus on. Are we able to find success in the context of our work? Now, of course, success needs to be defined. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to make $1 million, we have to be wealthy and rich, though that can be an indicator of success. But I think success can be defined in a number of ways. But wisdom brings success. And especially when we are able to do things well, efficiently, effectively, and there is that success. And that's what we want to think about, right? Can we do our work successfully? Do we have that wisdom to do it well enough and to have that kind of success? I was just listening to a podcast about this young guy. He's 26 years old, and he is the founder of this repair.sg. I don't know whether you have come across. These two brothers, they're pretty young guys. And when they were 16 years old, about to go into a poly, they decided to repair things, right, for fun. Meaning somebody called them up, they will go to the house, they will fix the light, fix the toilet. So go into plumbing, do a bit of electronic things. And pretty soon after he graduated from poly, he made it into a business out of sheer joy of fixing things. And so as he was talking about all these things, so how did he learn? He actually took up courses. He used his SkillsFuture and he learned how to do things to do business and how to do plumbing, how to do electrical things and household stuff, right? I thought it was really interesting, right? And soon the business began to grow and grow and grow. So now he has 24 workers. Is the last year he had $3 million revenue from doing things out of sheer. And if I'm not wrong, I met one of the guys before. So I had this light that I needed fixing, and of course it was a bit high, and I didn't want to risk anything. So I think I got one, because what struck me was this guy was very young when he came. I thought it was maybe some old worker or whatever, right? One old man, whatever. But this young guy who speaks very well, and he came to change the lights for me. And I said, hey, you're pretty young, right, to do all these light things. And yeah, I said, I really enjoy doing it. So I suddenly remembered that incident. But, he gained wisdom, he learned how to do things, and these two brothers, they just enjoy working together. So I thought it was very fascinating. But it takes wisdom, right? Whether through SkillsFuture or whatever, if you want to start your own business, you can use the credits, right? But wisdom does bring success. And success in the context of your work, in the things that you do, and I think that's important for us to learn. Okay, let's look at some verses from Proverbs so that we can think this through a little bit more. And so in Proverbs 14, we read, in all your labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, right? But the foolishness of fools is folly. So that's something that we've been thinking about quite a bit, right? And it is the crown of the wise is the reason. So again, one of the indicators of success is wealth and riches, but it's not everything, right? It does show that you are successful in whatever you're doing and you have made the, you know, done well in the context of your work. So it takes wisdom. The crown of the wise is the riches. Okay, now let's go on to chapter 22. Verse 29. I think I mentioned this verse before, but let's look at this because we were talking about rulers and so on. And in verse 29 it says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings and he will not stand before unknown men." Now it's not about being arrogant or anything. It's just a fact. Right? If you do well, you, especially in the context of our ministries, right? You can be in ministry of manpower, labor, or anything, right? But if you are able to excel, it is seen, and you will stand before kings. Now, if you don't mind me saying, right, when I read this verse, I thought of my wife. Right, and because of, and I'm not trying to boast or anything, it's just a matter of fact. And to see how God has blessed her in her work, and that she has, you know, I remember her slogging very hard as a teacher, and she worked really, really, very hard. I would be sleeping, she'll be at the desk preparing work, and over the years, the Lord has blessed her. And it is because of how she has sought to excel in her work. And now she is able to be, you know, leading and helping our educational system. But of course, there are also difficulties, right? If you read in the news, there are many issues that needs to be addressed, right? Whether it's the canteen issue, whether it's, right, food also got issue, right? And nonetheless, these are things that have to be dealt with. And the thing is that it is with wisdom that we learn. Wisdom from God, wisdom that is gained, wisdom that God, that would help us learn to do better in our work and to be able to find success. Now, of course, no situation is perfect, right? No organization is perfect. As what we read previously, you can have a ruler who is not so great. So, yet at the same time, ultimately, it is the Lord who brings about that success. Let's look at chapter 28 now. Proverbs 28, verse 25. And he says here, "He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered." So another word for success is the word prospering. How God will prosper us. And when we learn to have that faith, that trust, when we place that absolute trust in the Lord, He will bring about that prosperity. Now again, it doesn't necessarily mean just about wealth. It is about how God will bless you in the work that you do, and so on and so forth. And that's something for us to think about. Now, so there's nothing wrong with looking for success, right? Or even prospering in what you're doing. Now, Chinese New Year, we all talk about, right? Lo hei la, huat la, you know, this kind of thing. And what? People are just looking for, to have prosperity. And there's nothing wrong in itself, right? But more importantly, it is God who prosper us. And that's something that we want to think about. But it takes wisdom. It takes understanding. It takes, divine wisdom from on high that gives us that guidance and the leading to be able to do well. right? And that's something for us to think about. Okay, let's ask this side for a change. Okay, Ryan, what do you think? I mean, you are in the, you know, corporate world and so on and so forth, and you look at different people with different success and so on and so forth. Okay, how do you see, and even as we study this afternoon, what it means to have success? How do you see it? So we need to bear in mind, it doesn't mean that every wealthy person, we will just, okay, it seems like he's successful, right? But what is success? You know, and I think that's something for us to think about. Okay, great.
I mean, like being in like more corporate and very KPI driven, right?
Yeah.
Then of course, success usually we define as like whether you hit
your now KPIs. Can
like hire 120% or whatever your KPI lah.
Correct.
But I think when for what you are sharing and what we are learning today, that I think it's very important to have that perspective of the success being beyond wealth and being beyond just being able to hit 100% of the KPI.
So wealth is part of it, sure. I mean, we have no cons about that. But I think we need to go beyond that.
Yeah, and I think that's a good reminder or perspective for me.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes when that's how most of us would try to peg success, right? We say like, whether we get increment, I mean, now it's end of year, so like, whether you get increment, whether you get a good bonus, and then that sort of like overwhelms a bit, and you start to think that is the only indicator of success. But I think from today, it's a reminder lah, that at work, it's not just that wealth or not just that. The focus shouldn't just be on that to decide whether or not there's success.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's important, you see. You know, so I don't know whether you were following the Winter Olympics. And so I'm a sports person, so I just follow along the way. But I was bearing in mind the women's figure skating. And there was this lady, her name is a young lady, Alyssa Louis or something, I can't remember. Yeah. And is it Alyssa? Alyssa Liu, right? Yeah. And you know what happened? She was a protege at 12 years old. She won the U.S. National Championship. And then, but at 16 years old, she decided to quit. She had no love whatsoever for figure skating anymore. She hated it. She just wanted to be an ordinary teen. Went back to school and did other things. But at 18 years old, she came back to the sport. And she found a love for it. And I appreciate the interview when she said that she was not looking for the medal. It was not about the medal anymore. And I thought that was a very interesting perspective. It was about what she could do for others, right? And, you know, she just enjoyed herself. And when she did her final skate, it really showed. She was not nervous. She just enjoyed herself. You know, just the sheer joy. So I was just reading this podcast about this repair.sg, and they were deciding whether, because a lot of repair people is the lowest quote, right? Everything is lowest quote. They say if we were to do that, we will lose the joy of what we do in terms of work. So they decided that's not what we are going to do. Because if we do that, then we will just lose that joy and that love for why we did this in the first place. Just imagine a love for repairing toilets and unclogging toilet and bowls and stuff like that. They just love doing these kind of things, and it's a challenge to them. Right? How many people are like that? Most of us, this is something that we'd rather not do. Right? So what is success? Right? Okay, Nick, what do you think?
I think it depends on the motivation on how you derive success also. Whether or not that you label, is it wealth is the motivation?
Yeah.
Yeah, or rather, like what you mentioned, or when you work, what is the denominator that brings you success? Is it the impact that you do? Or is it the joy that derives from it?
Yeah.
So I think sometimes it's very gray because, like what Ryan mentioned, right? It can be because there are outcome or deliverables that is derived from that.
Necessary.
Yeah, necessary. Right. But sure. At the same time...
I mean, you need to fulfill all righteousness. We all recognize that.
Yes.
Right?
So then the effort that you put in, sometimes you equate, does it equate to the amount that you get, let's say, in terms of the money benefits, right?
Yeah.
But beyond that, is there another aspect or perspective that you can look at it?
Yeah. So, you know, they always raise this question. Yeah. Is it the destination or is it the journey? Right? So, you want to ask yourself, what is it that really is part of this whole idea of work, right? Which is what you're talking about. It's not about, okay, let me just get this done and KPI is achieved. And what is it? Okay, how I do it, right? And I think there's something for us to think about. Okay, so I'm going to bring in Joseph an example. It's a very familiar story, but let's just highlight a few things for us to think about. Let's go to Genesis 39. And I like the way in which Moses sought to comment about these things. Look, as he wrote verse 39, verse 1, right? Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. What did he do? What did he do? Right? Already, the commentary makes the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Wow. How do you manifest such, you know, the way in which you do things, the way that you are, that shows to others that the Lord was with him? The Lord is with you. And that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had to put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So it's not only the house, it's also with regards to the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? To see how God prospered his hand in all that he did, and he blessed it. The key thing is the Lord was with Joseph. And that is the indicator that when you do things, when people see how you do things, it shows your faith, it shows God in your life, in your context, in the way you do things. The Lord was with Joseph. To me, that is what true success is all about. It's not easy, I recognize that. But yet, this is how Joseph was being described. Now, let's go on towards the end, verse 21. Right now, he's in prison. He gonna framed by Potiphar's wife, and so on and so forth. Bopian, right? We all talk about unexpected things, time and chance. Things can happen unexpectedly. Well, what to do? He's a handsome man, and yet, you know, you're framed. Well, yet, when he was in prison, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Now, you think about it for a moment. Here you are, you got framed by this woman. I'm sure anybody would be really upset about this woman. And then being in prison, and we all recognize prison is dingy, it's horrible, you don't want to stay there. You will be moping, you'll be upset, you'll be angry. But what does he do? He didn't complain. He decided, okay, you know what? I'm just going to make do. I'm just going to be the best prisoner, whatever that means. So much so that the keeper of the prison was favorable towards him. Right? The Lord, of course, showed mercy. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, verse 23, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. I mean, that's amazing. In prison, the Lord was with him, and the Lord made his prison ministry prosper. Isn't that amazing? Again, indicator. So, first you have the household. So some of you, right, you have your own house now and you run your own house. I hope you have a successful household. Right? Chinese New Year, you have people over. People say, wow, this is the Lord's, where the Lord is and so forth. When you are in prison, wow. Isn't that amazing to see that the Lord was with Joseph even in prison? Right? In the context of his circumstances, in the context of his situation. Right? Now, let's jump to chapter 41. And of course, we all know the story about Pharaoh and having the dreams and how Joseph was able to interpret the dreams. Now, let's look at verse 37. And he says, the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. See, that's where wisdom comes in. In the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Wow. A non-believer recognizing the Spirit of God in this person. That's outstanding. That is what wisdom is. That is what wisdom can bring you success. Right? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be one over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only regard to the throne, which I will be greater than you. Wow, you become second in command. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over all the land of Pharaoh. And of course, he was able to manage the 7 years of good and then 7 years of famine. And he had that wisdom to find success. So what is success? What is success? Right? That the Lord was with him. That the Lord would grant him mercy and grace and favor. You know, sometimes when you have favor, don't see it as, you know, man's favor giving to you. You know, when I read this, when I read about Esther, when favor is given, I see it as God's favor. In more ways than one. It's not so much that, oh, you know, this is man trying to please you or whatever. I look beyond. I see that sometimes when favor is given, it is God's favor that is given. And I appreciate that. So I remember when I was in NS and, I'm sure the guys know, whenever you are outfield, you have mission and things like that. It's always very difficult, and then you got to run, you got to go and, you know, attack, chase. And but I don't know why I always end up as the casualty. And people will have to casavac me all the way. So I see it as the Lord's favor, because in the end, I'm always being carried around. Right? And things like that. So, and the thing is that we want to be able to appreciate this idea of the Lord is with Joseph. We want to ask ourselves, right? Can we see the Lord's hand? Can we see the Lord being there with you? Can you see the Lord blessing, favor upon you? Can you see how God gives you that wisdom to do things better? Now, of course, we all are learning and we are growing and we're developing our work and understanding and even leadership and so on, right? But yet we recognize it is the Lord leading us, the Lord giving us that guidance and the Lord blessing us. It is the Lord. It's the Lord that gives us ultimately that success. And that makes all the difference. It is not about wealth. It is about how people recognize and see. And they would bless you as a result. Right? Okay. What do you think? Okay, Ding Chie, what do you think? You work in a hospital and what do you see this?
Yeah, I thank God for his favor in the last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of night shifts where it gets really, really busy. And sometimes before, I mean, many days before the night shift, my wife and I will pray for one day smooth, that I'll have the wisdom to be able to go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there were times where I was supposed to do a shift, but my friend had the... he was down with food poisoning a few days ago, so I took his shift instead. And then when he took mine, wow, the whole night he's just dealing with people who are crashing left, right, center. And then, yeah, I mean, sometimes I worry whether I don't get the experience because my shifts are so smooth. But yeah, I managed to sleep in quite a lot. Yeah. So I think that's one way I see the Lord's favor. But I also have to do my part to learn what I can during the day.
Yeah, sure. I think that's important. Please do, okay? Yeah. Right. I think when we see the Lord's blessings, I think that's something that we really want to be able to appreciate and really to see the Lord's hand. And to me, it's really being able to see success in a very different way. Right? Wealth is part of it, sure, understandable. But I think we want to be able to go beyond. Right? To be able to see the Lord's hand, the Lord's blessing. And of course, whether it's promotion, whether it's bonus, and we also see this as God's blessing. But yet, I think it's learning what it means to go beyond. Right? And really being able... To me, it is when somebody asks you why you do what you do. Why you do this, why you take this approach. And that gives you the opportunity to say, I do this because it is the Lord. It is my way of, you know, doing things according to the Lord's ways. It is the Lord leading me. It is the Lord's wisdom rather than not. I mean, of course, you have secular situation where you say, okay, why do you do what you do? Well, I love my job. This is my perspective. Why do you skate and so on and so forth? Well, you know, it's more than just a medal, and it's those are secular perspectives, and which is fine. But I think for us, it is where God is brought into the picture, and that it gives us the opportunity to share why God makes such a huge difference in our lives, in the way we do things, and really being able to then give honor and glory to Him. And that's something for me is what part of success is all about. And it's something for us to think about. Right? Because sometimes we can be just very caught up with work, very mundane, and you know, sometimes certain things can be routine and so on and so forth. And yet, how do we approach things differently? How can we see things differently? How do we bring in God in our context? You know, especially when things are not ideal, when things are difficult, when things are tough, when things are going against us, can we still, nonetheless, work in such a way where God is honored and glorified, where people do see, nonetheless, God in the picture? Something for you to think about as you go into your groups, and I think this is something that we want to consider and work towards. Okay, well, let's pray and then let's give off. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your word. We pray that you will help us to continue to seek wisdom and understanding that we may truly find what success is in your light, in your understanding. We recognize that whether it is promotion or whether it's being able to have a higher pay, we recognize these are some indicators of what success is. But more than that, we recognize how it's so important for us to have you present and blessing in more ways than one, in what we do in the context of work, family, and so much more. We pray that you will just continue to lead us and guide us with wisdom from on high. We pray and ask that you bless this offering. May it be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.